she wanted that song to be sang at the Ladies Spectacular. And that year, that infamous 2011, that didn't happen. All right, Junior, let's see, Heritage Heroes. Heritage Heroes. Man, don't you wish you could just run up them steps like that, eh, man? Where's the patriarchs? Heroes, why it comes. Let's stand. Let's stand. Psalm 116. Psalm 116. Psalm 116. Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living, I believe. Therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly, I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. May God have the blessing on the Word of God as he always does. Let's pray. Father, I ask you tonight that you'd speak to our hearts and give us what we need. We love you, Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In this wonderful song, first of all, we have seen the psalmist's gratitude. And you can see that in verses 1 through 9. We see the danger his experience. We see the present assurance that he has. We see the precious anguish, and we see the powerful appeal that he makes before God. Now we're looking at, and this is verses 5, the deliverance he had experienced. Twofold word here. It talks about his Savior and his sacrifice. First of all, the word his Savior, and he takes possession of his Lord. I love the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart. I hope you do too. And the way I've seen some of you, you certainly do. David said, and I'm reminded of the fact every time I read Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. He took possession of him. The Lord is our shepherd who leads us and guides us and gives us wisdom beyond that we really deserve. Things that have happened in his life, God gives us wisdom. God shows us a way out of a lot of things. God shows us sometimes to stay where we're at, just hunker down, wait. A lot of people want to make rash decisions that will completely, entirely change their whole life and their attitude of life. We want to be very careful. We know exactly what God has given to us. It may be that God will give you a verse. It may be that God will give you a verse and some counsel for your pastor. Maybe you get some counsel for somebody else. But he'll give you counsel to help you and guide you. Well, I'll tell you what, we should not take our life lightly. We should not take our jobs lightly. We ought to be thanking God for everything he gives us. Amen. And that'll keep us straight. Well, anyway, he says a word about his Savior. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. Boy, how different the Lord is from the gods of the heathens. I was watching a thing on the National Geographic the other day about these people worshiping their idols, and I just sat there in amazement. Why? How could a person ever believe how crazy that is? I think if they talk about the Muslim religion and how it's growing so fast. If they really study that, how can they be one? I just don't understand it. I mean, you know, but they are. And they are fooled by it. For the most part, their God represents cold, impassive idols. They are either distant or demanding gods. You know, not so with our God. God is a gracious God. He touches us daily. We go back to the days of Moses. The children of Israel had made this golden calf and God dealt with them in judgment. Moses, the intercessor, and he had stood between the living and the dead, and he asked God to let the stroke of wrath fall upon him in order that the people might be spared. In response, God first revealed to Moses his glory. And told him to hew out two more stones and replace the one that he'd broken. I mean, it amazes me. If that was me and Moses was my son, I'd tuck him off to the woodshed and whoop him, amen. But God says, go just hew a couple more stones. You bring them to me. That's incredible. I'm glad God's like that. And I hope we as parents are like that. Then he told Moses to come back up to the mountain once more. This is the seventh time. Last time, but seven times he comes before God. Moses made his way up alone. The mountain was deserted. Even the flocks and herds had been removed. The people stood far off, afraid now to go anywhere near the place. Then he stood there alone, and the Lord appeared in the clouds and stood with him there. And proclaimed his name as Lord. What a name it was. In those circumstances, pictures the scene now, the golden calf, but scarcely beaten heap of dust. The law is broken and shattered. Moses standing alone with the two tablets in his hand, we read, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgressions, and sin. Exodus chapter 34, 5 through 7. That was how the Lord wished to be known. And thus the psalmist cried, how gracious you are. It was a word for his Savior. Secondly, the word of his soul. In a threefold reminder of himself, the psalmist tells his soul first to rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. You know, sometimes we get so tied up in ourselves, and it seems like every time we go someplace we trip, and every time we turn around we fall down. It seems like you go and go, go. You know, he said, rest in the Lord. Somebody called me and told me about a little situation that was going on, and my first thought was, God has taken care of this many other times. He'll take care of it this time. And wouldn't you know, that morning as I read my Bible, the Bible says that God was fussing with the Israelites because they would not they would not remember the good things that God had given them. Boy, I thought to myself, boy, I'm glad I reminded myself of that before complaining about, hey, Lord, aren't you there? Aren't you? You know, they want to be very careful. How much faith you got in God? You've seen him many times. You've seen his work many times. Don't you trust him? Don't you trust God? Said, well, I just don't know. Well, I know one thing. I don't know anything, and he knows everything. And I know one thing. He'll take care of me. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake. That's a promise of God. Can't we get a hold of it? There are people who ought to be in church tonight. They just can't get a hold of it. They're having a hard time. This is that, whatever. You know, they've maybe heard something, whatever. You know what? Hey, God is good all the time. All the time, God's good. So the word to his soul was this. This is what he says to himself. He says, rest in the Lord. When that comes up to you, when that problem comes to you and you face it, the facing of the giant. You know, David faced that old giant Goliath. One man says, boy, he was a terrible, mean-looking man. David looked at him as a great big target. Yeah. Big targets are easy to hit, amen. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. And I was thinking that scripture. I was thinking when David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. There's your rest. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That's security. He restoreth my soul. It's going to be okay. Hey, it's going to be okay. He said so. The Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee, verse 7. Then the psalmist tells his soul, rejoice in the Lord. So he said, rest in the Lord, soul. Hey, rest. Take it easy. It's going to take care of itself. Hey, listen. Rejoice in the Lord. Well, praise ye the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Pass the biscuits and the gravy. Amen. Whatever. You know? Hey, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I don't know, whatever they do that. But... well, I guess somebody else said rejoice right there. Yeah. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Praise the Lord. You know and I know we don't deserve what God gives us. God continues to give us so much that we're really undeserving. But bless God, I don't know about you, but I always want to be in the front of the line, amen? Huh? God had brought this singer of Israel through a terrible experience. He's brought you through terrible experiences. Finally, he tells his soul to resolve in the Lord. Just resolve yourself in the Lord. Not dissolve yourself, but resolve. Amen. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. The land of the living, a land of fadeless days, where eternal ages roll. It is a land where they have no graves, no cemeteries, no funeral homes, no death. Through danger and deliverance indeed. So he says, I'm going to rest in the Lord. And then he says, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. Then he said, I'm going to resolve myself in the Lord. I am staying with it. Some of you here tonight have served God many years. You don't know any other way of doing it. Why don't you just resolve that's how you're going to ride her home? Why don't you just ride it home that way? There's some here today who hardly experienced salvation. You've been saved less than a year. By the way, good to have you home, Britt. She's just been saved less than a year. You're learning some things. You're learning out there that there are some people that aren't too impressed with your Christianity. You're learning out there that some people just think you're crazy. Some people say that you're just using this Christianity as a crutch. But you know what I know. It's real. When you stay with it, and you stay in that Word of God, and you resolve in your heart that you're going to rejoice, and you stay, you're going to continue to rest in the Lord, and you're going to resolve to say, I'm writing this thing out. You're going to change my mind on this thing. Because there's a lot of people out there who want to change your mind because you make them very uncomfortable because you won't do certain things anymore. And you won't talk like you used to talk anymore. And you won't dress like you used to dress. And you won't smell like you used to smell. And you'll be very careful about your deportment around other opposite sex and on and on and on. You'll be very careful about that stuff. You'll be careful about your faithfulness to your local church. I, for the life of me, can't understand why people would not want to be in church when church is open. I just can't understand it. You know why? Because I've resolved my life. This is what's it. I don't understand why people would think people would choose something over their church. Now that's me. I guess because I'm a pastor. I guess. But you know what? That's the way it was in my family. And my daddy wasn't a pastor. My dad was an old farm man. An old farmer. And we just thought that the church would fold up if we weren't there. By the way, it will. If everybody gave like you gave, how would your church go? If you came to if everybody came to church like you came to church, how would it go? What if you're not there? One man said, this is, every time you come to church, you're taking, you're giving your vote saying, I'm going to keep that church open. Every time you write that tithe check out, that's why you're giving your vote to keep the church going. Every time you come up and pat the old preacher on the back and say, you know what, I needed that. I hear more, leave it alone, Dwayne, than I've heard ever in my lifetime. By the way, I went on the internet and listened to that, and it's kind of crazier than I thought I was preaching. Kind of scared me, some of the things I said. I said gut pile over the radio. No. Hey, John, I better learn some new words, you know, like intestinals and things like that. Anyway. But that's kind of funny. Y'all go, let's do it. Yeah. But we got to determine in our hearts that this is where we're headed. I'm resolved that I am going to stay and do everything I can to serve God and encourage Christians to raise young Christians up. And keep the old ones going, amen. Amen. The old ones going, amen. So that was his soul. Now, let's go to the psalmist's grief. We're not talking about peanuts here. Good grief. But anyway, I always say, good grief. And my brother-in-law, Mike, always says, what's so good about grief? Well, I don't know. You work on it, Mike. The psalmist's grief, Psalm 116, 10, 11. Touching on his grief in passing, the psalmist mentions what he had suffered. Look at here in verse 10. I believe, therefore I have spoken, I was greatly, what? Afflicted. We are left in the dark as to what had so overwhelmed the psalmist. We don't understand what happened to him. The writer's song was Hezekiah's song. It could have been that Hezekiah had taken counsel from his friend Isaiah, the preacher, the prophet. And the prophet had led some rough news to him. He says, you're going to die. And the king turned to the face of the wall and began to sob and to cry. He said, to die. He said, to die with the work scarcely begun. He says, with no son. See, Hezekiah didn't have any babies. He didn't have a son to carry on the Davidic covenant that was promised to him. And boy, he went to prayer. And the Assyrians had their great threats on the horizon to leave his people, the sheep without a shepherd. This king was a truly wonderful king, Hezekiah was. I wonder why people don't call the kid Hezekiah. What a great king. And then came the glorious reprieve. And God said, okay, I'll give you 15 more years. 15 more years. What he had said, verse 11, I said in my haste, all men are liars. Most have had spoken in haste, haven't we? Huh? We've all spoken in haste once or twice in our lifetime. Yeah, right. Some great calamity comes and boy, we let it rip. And we just, things we wish we could recall. And the psalmist has the honesty to admit that he had spoken too hasty. Now it grieves him what he said. And he was sorry. Now the psalmist's goal. He says, okay, that's over. I'm done with that. Calling people all men are liars. He goes to verse 12. The psalmist now states the thinking about his life in the days to come. And first of all, he assesses his duties of life. All of us ought to assess our duties of life. I had a preacher friend of mine said, every once in a while, he'd go lay in his bed and put his hands like this, close his eyes, pull a sheet over his head, and just lay there for a little bit and think of the things he wished he would have done if he wouldn't have died. Do you have a bucket list? Everybody ought to have a pail. You get write a few things down you want to do before you die. Or die trying doing it. 2011, Brother McKean and I and another guy, we're going to go to Anchorage, Alaska on our motorcycles. And we were going about July when we thought we'd get in or out of there with all snow, amen. And it's 2,995 miles from Great Falls right here to Anchorage, Alaska. That's one way. And we figured out we could do it in 2 weeks. And we had the maps and everything going and figure out, making sure we got as much pavement as we could on the Alcan. And, of course, that's when Marcia had her episode with her deal. So I still have it. Way back in the back of my mind, and Harold's still trying to talk me into it again. But we ought to have some things in our life. You ought to have in your life go to the mission field at least once. You ought to have in your that ought to be something in your life. I need to go there just once. Think of a place you'd like to go once. Just one time. Just go someplace. I want to go to Pearl Harbor. That's a big deal on my list. I really want to go there. There's a couple other places I'd like to go, but if I told you, it'd scare you. But anyway, there's a few things like that. I like to do that. All of us ought to have some goals in our lives. How about leading some people to Jesus Christ? How about a friend, family member? You've got it in your bucket list. I'm going to lead him to the Lord. I'm working. I've been praying. I talked to somebody a while back, and they said he'd been praying for a family member over 30 years. Finally led him, Lord. What a blessing. Amen. What a blessing. I know that Mrs. Hemingway won her daddy to the Lord about a year before he passed. Is that right? You know, those are things you ought to have. You ought to pull that old sheet over your head once in a while. Just think, what am I? What are they going to say about me at my funeral? What's that preacher going to say about me? Well, no good. One thing about it now, you'll push up daisies. At least do something with me, man. You know, I'd hope. You know what? That man, he was busy about souls. He was busy about telling people about Jesus Christ. He was busy about getting people to heaven. Amen. I hope that's yours. Well, he assesses his duty. And first, he gives the reason why he's assessing it. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? He says, I need to repay God. You know, all of us ought to be careful that we make sure we repay others. There's a lot of people who do a lot of things for us. We ought to remember that. Not forget the wonderful kind deeds that other people have done. And to pass it on. You may not do it to that person, but you can do it to somebody else to pass it on. Amen. I saw something on the internet one time. This person picked up something for this old person, and then the next thing you see, that old person helped somebody else, and then the next person helped somebody else, the next person. How many have seen that? Yeah, that's incredible, isn't it? Just one little nice thing after another, you know. Well, we shouldn't break that chain, amen. So he said, how can any of us, the question is, how can any of us repay the Lord his benefits? How can we pay him for his Bible? Might be a good idea to read it. That may help. What if you had no Bible? Do you realize that most people didn't have much of a Bible until around 1600, the Gutenberg Press came out? You realize that there was one that was handwritten, chained at the church? That's the only Bible they had for the whole city. Man, I got so many Bibles. In fact, I came in here today, and I was looking, and I looked up on the shelf, and there's a bunch of Bibles. Some of my people's Bible, your Bible is sitting on a shelf. I could name your name, but I won't want to embarrass you. So that means Sanctification Bible School, you haven't had your Bible. I know. I read it on my iPad. See, if you didn't have Bible, you wouldn't have something to read in a sinful world that would give you light and light your path and give you assurance of your salvation and the forgiveness and a home in heaven. Aren't you glad for your Bible? The psalmist is realizing how much he owes the Lord. Then he gives us the result of his assessment. He says, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vow unto the Lord now in the presence of his people. He was saved. He was surrendered. That is how that he accepts his duty on the Lord in the light of all his benefits. He said, I'll take this cup of salvation. I'll call upon the name of the Lord. I'll pay my vow. Boy, he was excited about that. And then we see his assurance about death. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. What a volume of truth is locked up. Did you know that Jesus Christ attends every funeral for a sparrow? Every funeral for a sparrow, God's there. Because he said, I know when even a sparrow falls. He says, your death is precious to me. God finds nothing precious in the death of the lost. There's nothing precious in the death of a man that's going to go to hell. But in the death of each of his own, he finds something worth treasuring. Their death is precious. It is a great value to him because of the death of his son. It cost me greatly. Rotherham took this and he wrote in his commentary, he used the word precious for costly. So he said, costly in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. How much more costly was the death of his son? God looked at the blood that was shed on Calvary and calls it precious blood. And the death of Jesus Christ was costly beyond words to describe its precious salvation, full and free for all who will come to God by him. So, we have the psalmist's goal. Even death has lost its terror. So you can't scare me with death. I'll still say, well, I said that, doctor. What's wrong with heaven? I hear so many people so worried about going to die. Or, oh, would you please pray for my grandma? She's 98 years old and I don't want her to, you know. Are you kidding me? Grandma's right there. Shut up. I want to go to my maker. I want to go to heaven. Leave me alone. You know. Man. Just let me go. Then the psalmist's gladness. 16 and 19. His position. O Lord, truly, I am thy servant. And he repeats it. I am thy servant, the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. He was a man set free. How do you get set free? Huh? How do you get set free? If you're not afraid of dying, you're set free. Oh, I'm so afraid. Why? You're afraid to go to heaven. You're afraid to go home. He had learned the liberating secret that true freedom comes only when a person is sold out for the Lord to be a bond slave, to be absolutely and always at his disposal. I am a servant. That is my position. If my master says, come home, whoo, I'm home. You can't hold me back from that. I'm happy. Look at his promise in view of the liberation the psalmist promised to live. He says, the sacrificial life and a sanctified life. I will offer thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will say, thank you, Lord, come what may, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I'm going to trust you in this thing. I don't like some things that happen in my life, but bless God, I'm going to let them alone, let God take care of them. And I'm going to thank him for them. Someone said today, oh, Pastor, how you doing, your poor little wife? I said, I'm doing great. And they said, what? I said, doing great. I said, man. I said, well, what do you? I mean, they're making me feel bad. There ain't nothing to feel bad about it. I've had three wonderful years with a little lady. I went through quite a bit, but, you know, thank God I still got her. She still kisses me. She thinks I'm funny. What more does a man want? Amen? Huh? And someone said to my son, Casey, the other day about his mom, he says, she's doing great. And he went, really? I said, yeah, she's doing great. Well, and, no. Hey, she's okay. Hey, she doesn't have to go to work anymore. Can't worry about bills anymore. She doesn't have to worry about her hair anymore. She doesn't worry about her dress anymore. She hadn't better be faded, I'll tell you that much. That is what Jesus offered the upper room. When he says to his disciples in remembrance feast, he took the bread in his hand and declared that it was represented his body. Gave thanks, he broke it, and the cup represented his blood about to shed. And again, he gave thanks. Boy, that's saving thanksgiving. That's sacrifice thanksgiving. And then a sanctified life. I think some of us, we miss this. I will pay my vows unto the Lord, now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of the old Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. We must think again of Jesus in upper room. When he came into the world, it was with a vow. Not my will, but thine. Got that? Not my will, but thine. He chose to pay that vow, hanging on the cross, or the Roman cross, in order to bear the sins of the world, mine and yours. Hey, what is it about? Not my will, but thine, O Lord. And when the problems come and the heartaches come, you've got to stand up and say, it is not about me, it's about him. I'm only the servant. My master has spoken, I do what he says. And like the boys say in the Marines and the Army or the Air Force, if we had asked you to think, we would have told you, taught you how to do it. Do the order. Do exactly what I say. And you're not, just do exactly. Get on with it, amen. Now I know there's a lot of, other stuff with that. But hey, you know what? We as Christians, I think some of you are thinking too much. Obey is better than sacrifice. This is what the Lord said. Someone said to me the other day, and I take a position on a couple things that people take an opposite position on, and. I said, well, this is the way it is. When I get to heaven, and I was wrong, the Lord knows my motive, that I didn't do it thinking it was wrong. I did it because I thought that that's what he wanted me to do. And if he wants me to burn me about that, then fine. But I'll tell you what, this is what the Bible says, this is where I'm going to go, says, and I'm going to take it that way. I hope that you live for God. I hope you take Psalm 116 and just gorge yourself with it. Just enjoy it. And remember, we're here for the kingdom. And it's all about Him. And when you get upset and you get mad and frustrated about things in your life, remember, it's not about you. It's about doing His will. And the things that He gives us is because He can trust you with it. And Satan wants to do everything he can to destroy you with it. But just like Joseph said, he said, hey, you made it to be bad, but God meant it to be good. Job, the same thing. You read these scriptures, you read about Paul and all the things that are going on in his life, and he just kept looking ahead and saying, you know what? It don't make any difference. It's all about Him. Father, bless this time. Thank you for these dear folks. Lord, help us as we go to our separate homes. Please keep us safe. Lord, watch over and care for us. Lord, I pray you be with our church as I'm gone next week. Just bless them. Encourage them. Lord, may these who we've asked to do the jobs while we're gone to do them right and properly. Lord, I beg you, I ask you to help us now to be more like you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, you're dismissed.